From Honky Chateau, that's Elton John, Rocket Man. Think it's going to be a long, long time. At least that's the way it seems anymore with those space shuttles. They never quite seem to get off the ground anymore, but that's probably a good thing. It's probably safer that way. You know, they're having trouble. Anyway, hi, this is Charles at democraticfundamentalism.org. Want to remind you, if you're just linking in from another website, democraticfundamentalism.org has links to news sources about all the things I'm going to be talking about. Just look for the ongoing report on News in Review. And as I always say, you don't have to take my word for anything, because I don't have to make this stuff up. It's a good line, huh? Always liked it. It's accurate, too. Anyway, there are many good things going on in the world today, and many acts of what I can only call evil. What we're going to focus on is what's at the root of the evil. In many ways, you could say it's about money and power and, you know, the usual reasons. What I'm going to assert is that the United States, in particular, George Bush and company, are at the heart of it all, and I'm going to tell you why. Then we'll do a little work with the weather, the Cultural Revolution, and the Renaissance of music, too. It's difficult to say all this only because here I am, demanding that our representatives get a grip on their senses and refuse to give this administration the power to wage war at will. And yet, I have to be honest, there's a perspective that must be respected. Any leader of any country must be prepared to wage war in order to protect the homeland as well as to protect international security. The problem occurs when a leader becomes overzealous, has ulterior motives, and gets a little too taken with the power of the forces he's been trusted with. George Bush has a problem with all of these. It does not take much to connect the dots to know that Bush empowers his corporate friends by ignoring the people and allowing his friends to seize as much money as they can squeeze out of us. They break the law and conspire against the citizens and refuse to comply with the law and the courts because they know their actions are wrong, if not illegal. So they don't want anyone to know. So they commit acts against other countries, and then when those countries complain or take actions against us, they claim the other country is the offender. And then they want to make war. Right now, more than 200 ships await to unload their cargoes on the West Coast. Much of it is perishable goods that we need to survive, good that we need to have a viable economy. Goods that, left undelivered, will harm the economies of many other nations. And the word is, Bush is considering invoking the Taft-Hartley Act, even while workers all along the West Coast have known for over a month that it's been the plan of the administration to allow things to deteriorate and then save the day using the military to empower the corporations and break the backs of the unions involved. Well, this is not about modernization of the docks. That's definitely the excuse. What it's really about is any number of things that have occurred to force Americans into working, you know, when they can find jobs at lower wages with lower expectations and at a higher profit margin for corporations. This includes health insurance and medicines, oil, and the guise has been that if the Federal Reserve Board lowers interest rates, Americans will be stupid enough to spend their last dollar and submit to corporate socialism. That's being managed by the corporations that have waged economic war on us and most other nations of the world for more than 50 years. What we're watching right now is their final move to take control in a totalitarian effort. Nothing more, nothing less. A little more than 3 months ago, Mexico seized control of numerous properties just south of the California border in order to supposedly use it for developing commercial interests. Now, some ships headed for the U.S. are heading to Ensenada, Mexico, which is, by no accident, readying to become a major point of entry. And it will facilitate one of Bush's pet projects, allowing Mexican truckers into the U.S. without having to comply with our safety standards. At a cheaper rate, of course. Bush has sold this out again. And even if he employs the Taft-Hartley Act, the damage has been done. Just prepare for a bleak Christmas. But that's why I'm here, to try to put a stop to it. And I'm going to give it everything I've got. And it begins here and now, or should I say it ends here and now. For example, did you know that the apartheid in South Africa was and actually still is part of the last vestiges of the plan of Hitler and Nazism to gain full control of Africa and live their dream of global white supremacy? It's unfortunate, but it's true. AIDS is one of the final instruments of removing the impediments, the citizens, that is, from the landscape. There's nation after nation of children with few parents who could easily be trained to be slaves, or for appearance's sake anyway, to work cheap without benefits or representation. Starvation will cause people to do many things they wouldn't ordinarily do. It's kind of like the stock market. The realities are so bad and we're so in denial about what's going on because, after all, our leaders aren't supposed to betray us, right? And what do? Instead of adamantly demanding the addressing of the needs and will of the people, what we end up doing is hoping. While a few people gain more control and more power, and we continue to hope, just like Bush and company thought we would. From CNN Money, this story, time for a relief rally? More hope. 6 down weeks in a row and everybody on Wall Street is wondering when the selling will end. The pain is getting intense. Traders keep betting stocks are due for a rally, that at some point the rubber band has to snap back. That bet has done nothing but lose money. Friday saw the Dow crumble to its lowest level since 1997's Asian financial crisis. Every day there are landmines, said Bob Basil, director of listed trading at Salomon Smith Barney. There are economic numbers, warnings, the market feels very heavy. When that feeling subsides, I don't know. What's going on here is just a relentless flow of bad news day in and day out, said Raymond James, market analyst at Ralph Block. It's like water torture every single day, drip, drip, drip. We could talk about sunspots, we could talk about fiscal year-end benefits, but whenever the explanation may be, history is on the side of the fourth quarter being a good one, said J.P. Morgan strategist Carlos Acilis. But of course, that's what the Bush administration counted on from the beginning, that we Americans would continue to sit around and hope, even though it's time for us to take matters into our own hands and demand that this government serve its people and respect those legislators who have the courage to stand up to a corrupt regime. And the Justice Minister of Germany was absolutely correct. Bush is using the war and the fervor he's whipping up with his speeches to cover the fact that he's bankrupting this country in order to take complete control. We will not allow it. We must not allow it. That's the imperative of consolidating power by voting for Democrats in the coming elections, to protect this country and have leaders interested in the welfare of Americans and citizens of the world, not corrupt corporate friends. Here's how it all works. I'll tell you a few things and, hey, then tell me if I'm wrong about a series of events aimed at getting Americans to support legislation that Bush and company are lying to us about. This is from my favorite article about the Bush administration, How to Generate Public Acceptance of War. This is by Hermann Göring. He was Hitler's number two man. He was sort of in charge of the propaganda machine to get people to go to war. Here's what he said. Why, of course, the people don't want war. Why should some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia, nor in England, nor for that matter in Germany. That's understood. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That's easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country. Now look at our past. Look what's been going on. The phrase is, all you have to do is tell them they're being attacked. And denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism That's going on everywhere. And exposing the country to danger, Ashcroft even says that the CIA and FBI haven't changed anything since 9-1-1. Story. Police appeal to public to help catch a sniper. This is my comment that I'll make before I start all of this. You might want to notice that all the people were shot. They were themselves of Arab or Hispanic descent or related to people of Arab or Hispanic descent. And I hate to say it, but I don't think that's an accident, nor do I think it's a coincidence that bin Laden apparently made a statement. But I will say, I believe it's all a setup of some sort. Investigators probing a string of six apparently random killings in the Washington area hope a geographic profile will help lead them to a suspect. D. Kim Rosmo, a former Vancouver, Canada detective working with investigators, said geographic profiling compares the location of the crimes with other information collected by police to give investigators some idea of the likely base or residence of the offender responsible. In effect, it provides an optimal search strategy, Rosmo said. Five people were shot and killed in suburban Montgomery County, Maryland, during a 16-hour period from Wednesday night into Thursday morning. A sixth victim was shot dead Thursday night on a Washington street. Friday afternoon, a 43-year-old woman who had been loading purchases from a Michael's Craft Store in Fredericksburg, Virginia, a suburb south of Washington, was hit by a bullet that pierced her lower back, exited her chest, and came to rest inside her Toyota minivan. She was in stable condition at Fairfax Hospital. I highly recommend that you go up and take a closer look at that story at CNN. They have some tools there that allow you to take a look at the profiles of the people who were shot. It's good to look at. Meanwhile, Yemen probes a French tanker blast. That, of course, happened early yesterday morning. Yemeni authorities probed an explosion and fire aboard a French tanker Sunday as they tried to prevent the massive vessel from running aground and spilling more than 397,000 barrels of crude oil it carried. Firefighters managed to put out the burning fire outside the 332-meter tanker Limburg and were trying to extinguish the flames in the interior late Sunday. One member of the 25-person crew was missing, but the other 24 were rescued, authorities said. French officials initially said the blast was a suicide attack similar to the October 2000 attack on the USS Cole in Yemen's port of Aden. They later said they would wait for the results of the Yemeni investigation. Here in this case, we have not enough elements which allow us to formulate a commentary which would point toward a terrorist attack, said Francois Rivasu, spokesman for the French ministry. This is a serious issue, a serious matter, and we have to wait for the complete results of the police researchers. Yemeni officials initially denied the blast was caused by a terror attack, but later pulled back to the same wait-and-see position the French adopted. A spokesman for France Ship Management, the ship's operator, said the company could not find any other explanation for the blast except terrorism. The spokesman said the explosion happened as the Limburg was taking on a pilot to guide it into Al Daba port in Alger City, more than 550 kilometers east of the port of Aden. One of the junior officers saw a boat, a small craft, approach with relatively high speed. That according to spokesman Peter Reyes. He thought it may have collided with our ship. But since our Limburg is a very large ship, he didn't feel it, and they didn't feel it. But shortly afterward, there was an explosion. Yemeni officials said the only small boat in the area was the pilot boat. Of course, you need to know that Bush doesn't want it to show up as terrorism, because that would take the emphasis off the war. Well, remember Ahmad Karzai? He took over in Afghanistan after the war, you know, sort of appointed by Bush and company. After all, he was, you know, a consultant with UNICAL before on the Caspian Sea pipeline, and Well, you know, it just works out really good to have continuity in those kinds of projects. Anyway, Osama bin Laden is probably dead, but former Taliban leader Mullah Omar is alive, according to Afghan President Hamid Karzai. Karzai's comments came on the eve of the anniversary of the start of the U.S.-led military campaign in Afghanistan as part of the war on terrorism. The campaign ousted the Taliban regime, which the United States said harbored bin Laden's al-Qaeda terrorism network, the group blamed for the September 11th attacks. I would come to believe that bin Laden probably is dead, Karzai said on CNN's late edition on Sunday, but still, you never know. He might be alive. 5 months ago, 6 months ago, I was thinking that he was alive. The more we don't hear of him, and the more time passes, there's the likelihood that he probably is either dead or seriously wounded somewhere. But he said Omar is certainly alive. We know of that, he said, and we have come close to arresting him several times, but he's been able to escape. U.S. forces have also searched for Omar. Karzai, leader of Afghanistan's interim government, said Omar is a difficult man to track because nobody knows him by face. Nobody can recognize him. If you came across him today somewhere in Afghanistan or in the rest of the world, you wouldn't recognize him. So that's part of the problem with him. I believe he is most of the time inside Afghanistan. He could go from time to time toward our borders, but he stays around the Afghan area, sometimes close to the borders. He contended the Taliban, which the United States designated a terrorist group, is a minimal threat to his government. And, of course, that leads us to the real treat of the day, the centerpiece of all the craziness. Headline, voice on tape said to be bin Laden's. The Al Jazeera television network Sunday released an audio tape it said was made by Osama bin Laden and intended for an American audience. In the tape, the speaker extends two invitations to the American people to join the Islam religion of compassion and justice and try to understand why bin Laden's al-Qaeda terrorists attacked New York and Washington. The Qatar-based network Al Jazeera said the two-minute recording was left at his offices late Sunday. I want to explain to the American people why we attacked New York and Washington. I'm inviting you to understand the message of my attack against New York and D.C., which came as an answer to your crimes. Evil brings evil. If we follow the act of these criminal bandits at the White House, the Jewish agents who are preparing to attack the Islamic world and dividing it up, without you opposing them, one would think that you don't understand the attacks at all, the speaker says. That's why I tell you, as God is my witness, whether America increases or reduces tensions, we will surely answer back in the same manner, with God's blessing and grace. And I promise you that the Islamic youth are preparing for you what will fill your hearts with horror, and they will target the centers of your economy until you stop your tyranny and terror, until one of us dies. We ask God to give us help, that the spokesman, or maybe bin Laden on the tape from Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera would not divulge any other details about how the tape was obtained, but network representatives said that they were confident it was from bin Laden. CNN has not been able to determine whether the speaker is the al-Qaeda leader or when the tape was recorded. CNN correspondent and Arab affairs expert Octavia Nasser said the voice sounded like bin Laden's. Previous messages from bin Laden typically have been rambling diatribes ranging from 30 minutes to 1 hour. Well, frankly, if that was bin Laden or if it was just from al-Qaeda, I have to tell you that what he says there makes sense. I understand a little bit about why they're upset. I will repeat, I have nothing to do with those people, and I don't condone terrorist attacks, but you have to understand in their minds, they're just retaliating against the attacks the United States government has made on various Arab nations, primarily in an economic war stance. Meanwhile, with additional exquisite timing, just in time to get you all scared so you'll listen to George when he presses his case against Iraq, President Bush plans to address the American people Monday to present his case against Iraq. He returns Sunday to Washington after a weekend at his parents' home in Kennebunkport, Maine, where he worked on the speech, which is scheduled for 8 p.m. Eastern Time tonight. Administration officials said Bush would lay out an extensive, detailed argument that Iraq is violating UN resolutions. He was expected to discuss the role of UN weapons inspections and the U.S. argument that inspectors should not return to Iraq before the passage of a new Security Council resolution threatening the use of military force if Iraqi officials obstruct their work. White House officials, however, said the speech would not reveal new evidence about Iraq's weapon programs. Senate Minority Leader Trent Lott of Mississippi said he hoped Bush would mention Iraqi President Saddam Hussein's repeated mistreatment of his people. Unlike our mistreatment of our people. Anyway, Lott said, "I want him to enumerate the fact that Saddam Hussein, in instance after instance after instance, personally has killed people, violated all kinds of human rights and UN resolutions, and that he is the problem," Lott said on Fox News Sunday. Actually, I think Lott's a big part of the problem, but that's another issue. Anyway, Iraq denies having weapons of mass destruction, and its UN ambassador, Mohammed al-Duri, suggested Sunday that his country could allow inspectors access even to the presidential sites not covered by last week's agreement with the UN weapons inspection team. He said, "I don't think that will be a huge problem between us and inspectors. I don't think that we will have a problem on that question, on that issue. Certainly we can accommodate ourselves with the UN to have free access to presidential sites." Meanwhile, Tom Daschle wants changes in the resolution. Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle of South Dakota said he wanted the measure under debate in the Senate to focus more narrowly on removing Saddam's nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons programs. The Bush administration says Iraq is continuing to pursue such weapons in violation of numerous UN resolutions. The resolution is currently drafted, cites 16 U.S. resolutions, Daschle told NBC's Meet the Press. Among the resolutions is the return of prisoners to Bahrain and the return of property to the Kuwaiti royals. Those are questionable reasons for use of force. Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, who opposes the measure, says the Senate is ignoring the potential consequences of a U.S.-Iraq conflict. He said, "We have to ask ourselves, are we going to be better off before the conflict or after the conflict? Let alone, how are we going to ever get out of Iraq? And if we go it alone, who's going to be there, stay there, and pay the bill? We have been discussing the resolutions, but we haven't debated the war," he said. Of course, from my point of view, then there's the will of the people. You know, they won't give us real elections or counter votes, so we have to get the job done in other ways, and we will. Even protesting in the streets is unlikely to make the real difference, though. You have to flood your reps with calls and emails now. Nonetheless, the other story of the day, protesters oppose U.S. action in Iraq, coming from Portland, Oregon, through the Associated Press. Chanting "No More War," an estimated 5,000 people rallied Saturday in downtown Portland, Oregon, against possible U.S. military attacks on Iraq, one of a number of such protests planned across the nation this weekend. In Texas, the chant by hundreds who flocked to the state capitol was "No More Blood for Oil." In Manchester, New Hampshire, about 50 demonstrators protested outside as President Bush stumped for Senate candidate John Sununu. 10,000 people protested in New York, and thousands protested in Seattle, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Bush did not mention the protest, but reiterated his stance that the United States must disarm Iraq to protect American lives. All the rallies were apparently peaceful. Organizers, their efforts centered on a website called Not In Our Name, said they hoped to spark protests in at least two dozen cities Saturday and Sunday. In Portland, first-time protesters joined long-time pacifists for the march. They chanted, banged on drums, and clapped their hands. "My co-workers were talking to me about this, and it's something I believe in," said Chris Jackson, an office manager who's never attended a rally before. "Maybe it will spread awareness that not all of America is behind Bush." She waved her hand over the crowd. "They aren't, and I'm not either." In Texas, protesters carried signs saying, "Free the press and stop the bombs." Austin police reported no arrests. "Yes, we are here, and yes, we are angry, and yes, we will not stop mobilizing," Green Party gubernatorial candidate Rahul Mahajan told the crowd. "We will not stop yelling until this war is avoided." Across the street, a small group waved American flags in opposition to the protesters. "I'd rather settle this peacefully, but if a war is needed to protect our people, protect our land, then we need to take that action," said David Armstrong. He's 36, of Austin. In St. Louis, an anti-war vigil Friday at the office of U.S. Rep. Dick Gephardt of Missouri ended with the arrest of a woman who refused to leave the House Minority Leader office when it closed. Protesters said they intended to resume the vigil on Monday. Then in the Middle East, Israeli offensive kills 10, Palestinians say. Offensive by Israeli helicopters and dozens of tanks early Monday left 10 people dead, including a woman and child, and up to 115 people wounded, that according to the Palestinian Red Crescent Society. The raid ended several hours later. Red Crescent said the Israelis opened fire in a pair of residential areas in Khan Yunis, a refugee camp in southern Gaza. The intense attack included missiles, shelling, weapons, fire from Apache helicopter gunships, and demolition of structures by military bulldozers, that according to Palestinian sources. According to the sources, most of the casualties occurred when three missiles were fired into a crowd outside a mosque in an area of Gaza that the Israelis consider to be a stronghold of the militant Islamic group Hamas. Israel military sources called it a pinpoint operation, but would not give any more details. You may wonder why I've included that part about Israel, and it's simple. Israel is like many other nations, taking instructions from the United States, being agitated by the probability of war in a volatile region that stands to become fully engaged should we attack Iraq. And the loose coalition Ari Fleischer talks about, well, it's loose all right, because all we want from them is a public statement saying they support Bush, and then Bush will do the rest at our expense and at the expense of the Iraqis and many other nations. The thing is, Bush says war is his last choice, but once he gets a paper that says he can unilaterally exercise prerogatives, he'll use them. He says it's the last choice, but notice he's already said that what he wants to do is make war. And the coalition is nothing but a bunch of countries that are so dependent financially on the U.S. by design of the IMF and World Bank that they don't dare risk getting their funding cut off by disagreeing with Bush and company. And as for our elected officials, well, I'll only say that after the election, I'm fully committed to making sure legislators who do not stand for the people and the good of this planet are exposed and removed from office in the elections to come, if we actually have any more. Personally, I'm going to ask God to give Bush and his friends laryngitis tomorrow. Maybe we can prevent another disaster.